March 6, 2007 meeting of the House Healthcare Committee Subcommittee on Health Policy Committee meeting to order. We're going to start with a public hearing on House Bill 2773. And I'm getting a note here.
Welcome with the gavel.
Right. Now, before we start, Sandy, do you need to announce the bill?
I certainly can, Mr. Chair. Good. At your call.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the subcommittee. House Bill 2773 creates an 8-member task force that is directed to study and assess the availability of nursing services in Oregon schools and the feasibility of expanding existing services. It specifies the task force memberships and responsibilities. It requires the task force to submit a report to the appropriate interim committee no later than September 1, 2008. It declares an emergency and is effective on passage.
Great. Thank you, Sandy. I know we have two members ready to testify, Senator Mons Anderson and Representative Kotek. You probably tossed a coin to
Senator. Representative Kotek, Senator. Oh, Chair Bruin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44. Pleased to be here today to introduce House Bill 2773, which, as described, is a task force to look at a very important issue, school nurses and school nursing services. For the committee, I've copied an article that was published in USA Today in December of 2005. And I think it's an excellent overview of nationally the crisis we're facing in terms of the presence of school nurses in the schools. I think there's an assumption that when we were growing up, there was a school nurse down the hall in every school. That's not the case today. School nurses have a lot more complicated functions that they have to perform. And because we don't have school nurses readily available at a reasonable ratio to the number of students in a school, classified staff in the schools are doing a lot more of the health services under the direction of a school nurse. There are a lot of things going on in the schools around school nurses that people would be very surprised about. And so the purpose of this bill is to start the conversation in the upcoming interim, a small task force directed out of the Department of Education to look at where we are currently today in terms of our school nurses and how do we move forward in strengthening school nursing services across the state. And that's why we had the bill here today, and would urge your support of this. And you're going to hear a lot of good testimony today from the experts, the nurses in the field. And so I'll stop there and allow our Senate co-sponsor to say a few words.
Thank you, Representative. Vice Chair Bruin and members of the committee, my name is Lori Monis Anderson. I'm Senator from Multnomah County, Gresham, Wood Village, Fairview, and Troutdale. And I'm very excited when Representative Kotek approached me about this bill. She knew that I was a nurse and that I had actually worked at Oregon City High School as a school clinic nurse there. And I jumped at the chance and was so glad that she has brought forward this bill. It is extremely important. There are a number of different agencies that have asked me through the interim, do you know how we can get information on how many nurses are in our schools? And so we would contact the Department of Education, and there is not information readily available to us. As far as I'm concerned, it's a student with diabetes is in virtual harm's way if there isn't someone with a health background and they get hypoglycemic or hyperglycemic. If a child has a cardiac arrest, again, there needs to be medical personnel. If a child has an asthma attack, there is an instance, and I forget which state, where a child had asthma attack, there was no health care personnel, had a seizure. And so when there's no health care professionals on staff, it does put our children at risk. And I like saying this. Schools without nurses are putting children in harm's way. If we can't afford school nurses, we've got our priorities skewed. So when I worked at Oregon City High School as a school clinic nurse, I wanted to just give you an idea of what went on there. The Oregon City School District has 16 schools, a population of over 8,000 students. The high school has over 2,000 students. Before the school-based clinic came there was one nurse for all 16 schools. There's still only one school nurse for all 16 schools, but Oregon City High School has a school-based health clinic, which helps. And I want to just give you some of the things that we see when I was a school acting as the clinic nurse. I was not the nurse practitioner. We had a nurse practitioner on board. But there is a need. There are so many. There's 117,000 children uninsured in this state, and many of them are in our school systems. But we, as school nurses, they can give immunizations. They can check on physical exams. They work on tobacco at the high school level, tobacco cessation. There's fitness and dietary counseling. There's health wellness counseling that needs to be done. We have people, students coming in with stress and anxiety, depression, eating disorders. They have relationship problems, abuse-related problems, and then they come in for just minor first aid things like bruises, burns, cuts, scrapes, infections, sore throats, earaches, stomach pains, strains. And others come in with acne problems and other skin problems. Asthma, of course, I've already said. Obesity is a huge issue. Anemia, diabetes. And so there are all of these issues that they come in, and if they don't have a school nurse, the secretaries and the teachers do the best that they can with them. We need to get a handle in this state on how many school nurses there are in our schools and start addressing this, because a healthy child is a child who can learn. An unhealthy child is a child that cannot learn. They are thinking of other things. And so that is why I'm just so excited about Representative Kotek coming forward with this bill, and I was very happy to chief sponsor it, and I'm willing to let you hear more testimony, and hopefully we can get this task force on board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
More
thank you. Maybe you just to follow up on that. The Senator has really been a leader on this, so I'm really glad she decided to come on with this bill, because it is important. And I think it was just a little context, and then I'll stop. But a couple sessions ago, we were able to get a school nurse consultant position in the Department of Education. So there is a staff person at the Department of Education who provides statewide training, consultation from schools, primarily school staff, not necessarily the nurses in their schools, about how to handle perhaps particular child's health needs, especially if they have an individual plan, if they're a child with a disability, they have particular medical needs. But it's really not her job to track how many school nurses we have. She could give us anecdotal information. This is an opportunity to say this is an important enough issue that we should sit down, count heads, find out how many nurses we have, what that ratio looks like in the state, and how do we move the state to where other states are. You'll see in the USA Today article, some of those states actually require school nurses in school districts. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to do that overnight, but if this is something that we think is an important enough service to provide in our schools, we need to have the conversation and get it started. So that's the purpose of the task force.
And just to follow up, there are 15 states that do mandate actual school nurses.
Questions, Representative Gelser.
Great, thank you. I wanted to thank both of you for bringing this forward, and I just wanted to share a comment and observation. I served on a school board for about 5 years, and one of the we do not have school nurses in our elementary schools, and one of the challenges that we faced for students with diabetes, especially young kids, kindergartners, first graders that couldn't do their own injections, it was an issue for them to be able to attend school because nobody was qualified to give the injection. So we had to go around and around with the legal issues of every child is entitled to be in school and the appropriate accommodations need to be made, and it's not appropriate for the parent to have to come to school every 2 hours, and there's other things that don't allow a parent hire someone to come in, very expensive to do contracted nursing services. So I've seen firsthand what a challenge this is for our schools. But I would also ask us to look at this in the context of the condition of public schools in Oregon and the fact that we are failing our kids in many ways by the chronic underfunding in the past 17 years for our schools. In the district that I've come from, we have had substantial cuts every single year for the past 17 years. We've closed 5 schools in the last 5 years. We have kindergarten classes in the 30s. So I think that as this task force looks at this, and if we are looking ahead towards things like a mandate of school nurses, we need to be talking with our partners in ways and means to be sure that we provide the funding to that so that we're not creating conflicts like school nutrition versus nurses versus reading versus is math, because those really are the challenges that local school boards struggle with right now as they cut every year very significant services. We're failing our kids because we're failing to fund our schools, and this is just one more symptom of that problem.
Vice Chair Bruin and Representative Gelser, I agree with you totally. And just to let you know, most schools don't have school nurses because the funding is such that that's one of the first things that goes, besides music and arts. School nurses are cut also. And you're right, we have a funding issue, and hopefully we're going to be addressing that this session. It's been a tragedy being in the recession that we have been in the last several years, because that certainly compounded the problem.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. And Representative Gelser actually stole my question, because my question was going to be related to how much of this is because of lack of funding rather than a lack of will. I know when I first moved here, my mother was absolutely shocked that we didn't have nurses in all the schools, and we had office staff taking care of the kids. And I understand the seriousness of the issues, but as Representative Gelser said, we can't lose sight of the bigger picture, which is how much of this is because of lack of funding. And I again want to reiterate what Representative Gelser said about making sure we're not competing with all the other issues and making sure that this is seen as a priority on its own. And then I actually have a question which is unrelated to that, and it has to do with parental consent. Is there a parental consent form that's signed before students are treated in school offices and health clinics?
Yes, Vice Chair Bruin and Representative Bonamici, at least I can speak for Oregon City High School, and the other nurses will probably address this. Yes, we have a consent form that's signed by the parents for the children before a nurse can see them. At least this was that at Oregon City High School.
Vice Chair Bruin and Representative Bonamici and Representative Gelser, the funding issue is absolutely critical. I believe, and I'd have to go back and for sure, but I think the QEM, the quality education model, talks about, in addition to all the other things we need, counselors, nurses, those wraparound services that keep the children healthy in the schools, as well as just the whole school environment healthy. So it's definitely a part of our education system, because that's where the cuts have happened. The seen as extras have been reduced. These aren't extras, however. So you're absolutely correct that this is a part of the broader funding issue for our schools.
And Vice Chair Bruin and members of the committee, I think that there is a liability issue here also. When you hear about the students lining up to take their medications, and it's a secretary that is actually having to find the right medication, make sure they read that correctly, make sure they give the right dose to the right child, and I don't know, I've done the med cart before in a hospital, and you have to be so careful that you're pulling the right medication and giving the right dose. And here we are having secretaries coming into offices and actually dispensing the medication. So I think there's a whole bigger issue that sort of swept under the carpet and not talked about regarding at least medication dispensing in the schools, because so many of our students are on medications. So that is one area, and then the fact that we might lose a child due to not having health professionals on site is extremely important.
Representative Gelser.
Great, thank you. And I just, partly because this popped into my mind, and it's a great opportunity to share this, but on the issue of extras, I certainly don't think of school nursing as extras. I just see that we continue to reduce and eliminate things that are very core to our schools. If I think about the high schools in the Corvallis School District that I represent, we have made reductions such that our kids can't take math all year long, and our high school students can't go to school all day. We send them home unsupervised for a whole period every day, starting in the ninth grade, when they're making all sorts of choices, which aren't very good. So the situation in our schools is really at a critical point, because we do have liability for kids that are lining up for medication. We've got issues with kids with diabetes, and we've got issues with kids that are going to have a hard time in college because they can't take math all year long and foreign language all year long, which isn't a really great way to learn math and foreign language. So I appreciate you bringing this forward, both on its merits and also just as a highlight of the real issues that we have in our public schools.
Any other questions? I had a quick one. The states, in your both of your looks at this, the states that do mandate the school nursing programs, are they, as far as you know, in the funding structure, are they making their school districts responsible for it exclusively or wholly, I should say, or are there under other funding mechanisms that you've discovered as putting together this bill and this concept that are unique? And I realize this is a question for the committee that we're trying to form to put together, but just out of morbid curiosity.
Vice Chair Boone, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that question. That's part of the reason for the task force, because I think it would be irresponsible to put out a bill that says we should mandate school nurses tomorrow, because we don't know the answers to those questions. Mm-hmm. We don't know the fiscal impacts. Mm-hmm. We don't really know how many nurses, I mean, what's the configuration that works best for the size of school. You know, the national ratio says you should have one school nurse for every 750 students, so that's 750 students that don't have additional medical needs.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work well for Oregon? There are a lot of questions that we need to answer, but I think the funding, looking at how other states are actually funding it, would be part of, I think, something that the task force should look at.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next. Who's going to be? Okay. Okay. Let's call up, I don't know who's together and who's not, but the first three I've got are Barbara Neely, Carol Zirkle, and Deborah Kelly. I don't know if you all want to come together. Or
we're essentially together.
Okay.
Thank you, Vice Chair. We're a tough crowd.
And I would direct you to Chair Kotek, who's now taken over the reins again.
So. Welcome. Thank you very much.
You can do it in whatever order. Just state your name for the record. And
okay. Chair Kotek and members of the committee, I'm very, very happy to be here, and it's a wonderful act to follow, which you just heard testimony from two of our great champions in the state around health care and service delivery to children. My name is Barbara Neely. I am the Director of School Health Services for Multnomah Education Service District. Besides my educational credentials, I am TSPC licensed and have a certificate in health care administration. I have 20 years of experience in the delivery of health services, both as a school nurse, a special needs nurse, a supervisor, and for the last 10 years, a director for the Department of School Health Services. MESD, Multnomah Education Service District in Multnomah County, is very fortunate in that we have a really different model than is statewide, in that early on, approximately 30-plus years ago, our local districts valued the services of school nurses and have put into place a resolution service for their local districts around school nursing or health services. And we have grown from 6 school nurses up to a cadre of 113 registered nurses and licensed practical nurses, but also 100 support and paraprofessional staff. And we serve all of Multnomah County, a portion of Clackamas County, and we have contract services in some of Washington County. I'm here today to provide testimony on the need for a task force to study school nursing services in our state under House Bill 2773. I really am here today to get beyond the notion that school nurses are all about Band-Aids and tummy aches. And I'm here today to provide you with some data that reflects that school health programs and school nursing are directly related to educational achievement, and that there is a need for health professionals in the schools. As federal responsibilities are delegated to states, there will be a greater effort required at the state level to influence education and health policy, such as compensation and what you've talked about, certification. There will also be a continuing need to educate and connect parents to health care systems in schools and in the greater health care community. The Oregon Administrative Rule for Health Services, and I've provided a copy of that for you, provides a framework to begin addressing the learning supports that are needed to allow all children to be successful in their learning. This bill also affords an opportunity for Oregon to define a model of health services to connect health and education, which would give us that educational report card that we could all be very proud of. The task force would not place additional burden on the Department of Education, the Educational Service District, or local school districts, and be representative of all of those who would benefit. I really thank you for your interest, and I will be willing to answer all the questions. I do want to run through a short PowerPoint, and I do want to run through the packet that I provided for you just to kind of guide you through the presentation. On the right-hand side, you'll see the PowerPoint presentation. Behind that is a one-page fact sheet for you for your information. I think as I talk around the state around health services, it's so important that you have data available to you to really put in some semblance of what is important, what the facts are, what the problems are, and what possible solutions there might be. The next paper behind that is the OAR, which describes the health services that are under the Oregon Department of Education. And the last paper on the right-hand side is really a position paper from the National Association of School Nurses and the American Federation of Professionals that talks about why every child needs a school nurse and some model legislation that's built around that. On the right-hand side, I'm extremely proud to share with you our School Health Services annual report, where you will see data in there that reflects what I've talked about in what value school nurses do. We are fortunate that we can maintain data and that we can track the number of interventions that our nurses do and the number of diagnoses and the types of healthcare problems that we're seeing in the school setting, which were described most eloquently by both Senator Anderson and Representative Kotek. So we'll begin with the PowerPoint presentation, and it's just more or less a review of what we were talking about before. But I do want to say that as Representative Kotek pointed out, many of us grew up with school nurses, but many of us did not grow up with the types of challenges, both physical, mental, and social, that our children are facing in the school system right now. So if you'll look at the first slide, it says that our mission is really basically then that what we want to do is partner with schools. What we cannot do is develop a school nursing model that's outside of the school district. The schools, we need to be connected and we need to be integrated into the school days so that it is a seamless position, because we need to remember the first reason children are at school is to learn, but they cannot learn if they don't come healthy or if we don't provide those interventions that are needed to keep them in school. Okay? Here's a little bit of a snapshot of Oregon today. You can see that we have over 37% of children that are living at the poverty level. And with poverty comes all the culture of poverty that many of you are aware of that do make it difficult for the child to get up in the morning to get to school. We have breakfast programs in school. We have children who come to school and take their showers. We have children who come to school to get their medications that day because the parents are unable to cope with all the challenges that they have in order for children to do that. The prevalence of diabetes, asthma, and the health conditions that are there, you can see that particular agenda that we have. Okay. Here's some statistics from Clackamas County. I did want to bring these with me, not just speaking as Multnomah County, but looking at, I have gone and traveled throughout the state and have been into many districts talking about the availability of school nurses and how we could really develop a health services program within your districts. But I wanted to share with you Clackamas County's that 25% of children have not seen a health care provider within the last 12 months, that 28% of them describe themselves as overweight. So this comes from the Oregon Healthy Teens Survey for 8th graders. The next one is from Umatilla County. So we looked out in the eastern part of our state. And if you'll look at these statistics, there's not much difference between Umatilla County and Clackamas County. So it is paramount throughout our state that we still have the same challenges that we need to deal with. And then the next slide talks about the OARs. And if you'll look at the OARs, you'll see that what we really need to do in schools is the school district shall maintain a prevention-oriented health service program for all students. And then it lists down the types of activities. I believe that this task force would give us an opportunity to look at the OARs for the delivery of health service and really make a difference that would be substantial in looking at what happens today in our schools. And I'm not going to go through these, but I think that you should just take some time to look at what we've been trying to follow, and this is what school districts have tried to do as well as they could with paraprofessionals, with secretaries, with teachers, who have had then to take time from their teaching activities in order to provide the health services that they need to in the schools. Here's some of the problems that we have, and this is what the task force would be able to address. That we have a shortage of professional registered nurses. We're no different than across the country where there is a shortage. That the caseloads that we have are higher than the national recommendations. We have one nurse in some of our caseloads. Even when our district chooses as a resolution service, we still have high caseloads. We have one nurse who covers 3,000 students. The medical needs of children are not being met. As I said before, the education time decreases to address the health needs. So the longer I have a child out of the classroom because they're ill, because they're having to lay down, because we have no intervention for them by the nurse, they're just sitting either waiting for mom to come pick them up or even just waiting until the school bus takes them home, they're out of class because they're not well enough to be in class. There's little or no reliable data on the correlation between health conditions and school absences, which really could be changed by the presence of a school nurse. We could ameliorate that. We could make that difference. And I have some statistics that kind of look at that. The solutions that we have, that we presented, that we think might be workable through this task force is we need to study and access the availability and the feasibility of providing service and expanding existing services that are there. We need to support the recommended national standards. We need to create an environment that's conducive to recruiting and retaining nurses. We need to examine those funding streams, which you talked about, that build on existing models. We do have some existing models around the nation that does look at taking health services as part of the educational dollar. And it should not be all educational dollars. We need to pull on the health dollars that we have through Medicaid reimbursements, through working and partnering with our health managed care agencies. We need to create a school nurse position as pivotal to the key role of health delivery and education in the school setting. Now, the next slide talks about the differences school nurses can make. And if you'll look at these, I just took a snapshot of Centennial High School, Centennial Middle School, Lynchview, and in two Portland districts. So I have a smaller district and a larger district that I've shown you. The red is seen by the school nurse. You can see in the blue the number of children who returned to class who were seen by the school nurse. You can see the number of children that were sent home who were seen by the school nurse. You can see the difference that the school nurse made in that child being able to stay and attend to their learning than in school. I went to some of our administrators because I feel that we as nurses really are passionate about the role of delivery of healthcare services in the school. We really recognize what the challenges, the increase in the mental health issues, the increase in all of the other chronic illnesses that we're seeing, the delegation, the laws that have come down around schools having to provide certain essential parts of the health services delivery. But I think that if you read through what our administrators have said, one of them is from, I would like to just read the last one, from Terry Knisley from the superintendent of Reynolds School District. If kids can't see or they have an allergic reaction to some environmental condition, learning begins to evaporate right before his eyes, his ears, his nose, and his throat. Children must be healthy, they must be secure, they must be rested and well nourished to reach their potential. So in my mind, there is an issue of wellness, not just health. Fortunately, healthcare includes both physical and psychological well-being. And I think that's what we're talking about here, because we need to turn the schools back into providing an education. We need to make them that pivotal point where we can deliver those healthcare services. We can connect children to the healthcare resources that are for them in the community. We also have provided in your pamphlet a flyer that just recently came out from Healthy Kids Learn Better from DHS that includes the difference between school nursing and school-based health centers. They are different. We work congruently in the schools, one to provide, to diagnose and treat. The other is to have a healthy prevention-oriented program that triages and connects children to their health care in the community. So one of the things that we're most proud about is our outreach and eligibility around finding health care resources for children. Can I address, if there are any questions about that, but I do want to address the one question that Representative Bonamici said relating to permission for parents to see the school nurse. Because the school nurse is an integral part of the school community and the school district, in the student in the district handbooks that go out, it describes what school health services are being provided. And if there is a school nurse in there, it says what the school nurse would do, that they're going to do immunizations, that they will do vision screenings. And so there is not a direct relationship of a client role relationship with the school nurse. They provide a health care a health service delivery model in the school, so we don't really need to get additional for those prevention-oriented programs under the OARs. However, if we do provide a health care plan around diabetes, around asthma, the parent is integral into the development of that plan and is and gives a responsibility for us to either contact the doctor, to share information with other people in the school. So when we develop that one-to-one client relationship with a student, the parent is an integral part of that. But the parents are an integral part of all health care services delivery that we do in the schools. But in the school-based health clinics, they must sign a release to be seen in the clinic. It's like going to the doctor's office in the school.
Okay. Representative Gelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But when you're providing a service like an immunization, that wouldn't be provided to a student without permission given from the
parent. No. Those things. And most often we don't give immunizations right in the schools. We can do that. We have tried a model of that recently, which works very well because the parents come and bring their children and we provide it right at the school setting.
Mm-hmm. Representative Floyd.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Neely. When it, under the problems block here, you talked about shortage of professional nurses in schools, and you used a figure one nurse covers 3,000. Is that a typical ratio in Oregon?
I would say it's pretty typical.
Okay. Yes. And then your next point was caseloads are higher than the national recommendations. And what are those national recommendations?
As Representative Kotek said,
and I'm sorry, I missed that.
Okay. It's 1 to 750 is the national registration. And I believe Carol,
for
regular students, and I believe that Carol has some data that shows that Oregon is very much near the bottom of that
Thank you.
Ratio.
Mm-hmm. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Neely. Do you know approximately how many children in Oregon take medication on a daily basis?
I don't know approximately the number, but what I would say to you is that we would probably see on the average, if I could, maybe let me just look at this particular data that we've collected, and that might help you, because we do have in here medication, the number of medications that are given. Here we go.
Is that your annual report?
Mm-hmm, this is the annual report under the number of interventions. I think we break it down by medication on the one hand.
Here we go. In this, there's 27,190 medication administrations that were given in 1 year's time in three districts. This is three districts that are reporting. This is on page 5 of the annual report. This is under our health assistance, and our districts here provide, they have contracted for health assistance, which are under the direction of the licensed nurse, so she provides all of the oversight for that, and so these are the districts that have health assistance. So that gives you an idea that... there are quite a few. And that's just what the health assistant gives, and they're there 3 hours a day. So it doesn't count the number that I would say you could probably double that number, because I'm sure that the secretaries give the other medications throughout the day.
That's just three school districts.
That's three school districts.
Mm-hmm. That's just in three, sorry, follow up?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's just in three school districts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to thank you for being here, Barbara. I really appreciate all the materials you put together. I think it is important. I'm glad that that we have this brochure now that talks about the difference between school nurses and school-based health centers. I think if you look at the continuum of school health services, not every school has the capacity to have a school-based health center.
That's correct.
Which is essentially a primary care clinic in a school.
That's correct.
The school nurse is critical. You know, the optimum situation is a school nurse and a school-based health clinic. In my district, Roosevelt High School has both. They're lucky. They have a school nurse that's on campus most of the time, and they also have a school-based health center.
Okay.
So they can facilitate the referrals to the clinic and also connect the students to the outside of the community. So I think, you know, we talk a lot about school-based health centers because they've been getting a lot of press, but there are just the basic need for school nurses in as many schools as possible.
That's correct. And I think that that's one of the advantages that we've been able to look at over the years in Multnomah County, because we do have a school-based health center in every high school and in many of our middle schools now. And what we have found is that if you try to take the school nurse away from the school district, they really become very upset, because the school nurse is integral to the every day-to-day activities of a child. They manage all of the chronic illness issues, the immunization issues, the day-to-day issues that that Senator Anderson talked about, the broken legs, the broken arm, the medications that need to be given, the mental health issues are just astronomical in increase, and the number that we're seeing where the school nurse is really instrumental in providing that intervention for that child who's suicidal, for that child that's depressed. One of our nurses in one of the elementary schools has a program where at lunchtime she sits with children who are socially withdrawn, the girls who are overweight, the girls whose self-esteem is down, and they do an art class project, just through that project, the school nurse is able to provide that support and the health counseling that needs to happen to have that wellness. And it's that connection that we see that makes a big difference. And what we saw over that year's period of time was that those five young ladies became better students. They became more involved. Their parents would come to the school and say, "What's happening? My daughter's talking at dinner. She's not closing the door and going into her room." So those are some of the things that the school nurse does that may not be seen as healthcare, but they recognize that those are problems that are health related. You can't take the child and put them into little pieces and say, okay, today you're going to learn, tomorrow you're going to be sick. You have to, you just can't do that part of it. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Well, I really thank you for your interest, and if there's any questions on the data, I've included my card in there, and we're very supported by our administrative staff who have given us time to come here and to provide this information with you, and really want us to proceed with this task force.
Thank you, Boba.
Hi, my name is Carol Zirkle, and I'm the current president for the Oregon School Nurses Association. I am a nurse at Willamette Educational Service District here in Salem. I serve the early intervention, early childhood special education. My entire population of children are medically fragile and handicapped children that will be going into kindergarten soon, and we get them early. I wasn't intending to say this, but I want to throw this in. I've been an ICU nurse, a coronary care nurse, a rehab nurse. This is the toughest job I have ever done in my 30 years of nursing. It is the toughest. I've been a school nurse for 11 years now. I went into it thinking Band-Aids and boo-boos. Even as a nurse, I had no idea what was going on in our schools. And Multnomah ESD is the Cadillac in the state of Oregon. And we could not do our jobs without them. All of the school nurses go to them and ask them for help or direction, but they are the Cadillac. And it goes downhill from there in the state of Oregon. In regards to the... we are in total agreement as an Oregon School Nurses Association. We are in total agreement and are just thankful that this task force may be instituted because it's so crucial and needed in Oregon. What I have provided, and the first thing I want to share is from the superintendent of Coos Bay School District, and I want to share this specifically because she shared with us at the last spring conference for OSNA that even though they are a very poor school district, they have a nurse in every building. And they did it. And if they can do it, then we can do it throughout the state of Oregon. And she has a very brief paragraph I'd like to read to you. But she wanted to come. I spoke with her. She wanted to come. She said, please share this with the committee. The Coos Bay School District has always valued the role of school nurses in our schools. We have protected our nurse positions even when our financial situation caused us to close school days to make ends meet. Currently, we have nurses in every building. We have a school-based health center in our high school that serves children K through 12 plus the community. It is a conscientious choice to have nurses in our schools. Our schools are at between 50 and 80% poverty. People in poverty do not have adequate access to health care. Students come to us with all manners of illnesses, and our nurses provide them with health care. The nurses also act as community resource connections for children and families in need of medical attention. Healthy kids learn better, and we believe that our nurses are part of that work in schools. They act as nutritionists and counselors, care providers, and strong advocates for the needs of children. The Coos Bay School District will continue to support as much nursing in our schools as possible for the health and well-being of our students. I think that would be a really important district for the committee to look at and say, how did you do it? Mm-hmm. And so that we could follow suit. Also in the packet that I gave you is just a statement that came out from last April from the Oregon State Board of Nursing. I'm not going to read it except for the final two sentences that say, therefore, it is a position of the Oregon State Board of Nursing that a registered nurse knowledgeable in school nursing is essential to the planning and delivery of health services in schools, especially for students with special health needs. That came about because the Oregon State Board of Nursing, I had a conversation with Marilyn Hudson from the State Board. She says, as a community of nurses, a subspecialty of nurses, we contact the board more than any other nurses in the state of Oregon, and that is because we are out there serving children. My practice, and I'm going to speak just 1 minute regarding the special needs children in Oregon. They are abundant. I should have brought my training doll. I have children that I train, secretaries, high school graduate assistants, that do tube feedings directly into the tummies of children, that do endotracheal suctioning. And these are not standard throughout the state. I don't believe Multnomah ESD will contract or will train a non-nurse to do endotracheal suctioning. I have three children that I train that on because they are very stable. I have children that have IV lines for cancer. I have children that get colostomy care at school. I have children that we catheterize at school because they cannot urinate on their own. There are children out there with these huge medical needs, and there are lay people that are performing those tasks. So I'm just a great advocate. My heart's desire for this committee would be also to open the eyes for the population of Oregon to what is going on in the schools, not just the medically fragile children, but all of the needs that Barbara addressed as well, because they are huge. My superintendent from Willamette ESD also made the statement, and she gave me this statistic, which is just a little higher than Barbara's. She said statewide poverty rate based on numbers of children that are receiving free and reduced lunches is about 43.17%. And she also yesterday gave me an email that said, you will be pleased to know and can say to the committee that COSA, the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators, supports this bill. And I have submitted also in here from Healthy People 2010, the recommendation for or from Healthy People 2010 is 1 to 750 ratio for the standard regular education. It is 1 to 250 for special needs kids like I described. I have a ratio of about 1 to 1,000. And I also cover three full counties, so I cannot. I have to train the non-medical people to do those tasks because I cannot be there. So, and then the last document that I have is a non-scientific graph that shows from 2005 from NASN, the National Organization of School Nurses. At that time, we were fifth. Oregon was fifth from the bottom of ratio of school nurses to students. And so we have a very long ways to go. One last comment that I would like to make in regards to that ratio is that, I'm sorry, I've lost my place. I'm going to back up and just stop there. But also there is a position statement from the Oregon State Board of Nursing. I covered that. I've lost my place. I'm sorry. I just want to reemphasize that we support this task force, and it is so very necessary for our children in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Questions?
And just quickly, if anybody has a cell phone on or a BlackBerry, that could be causing the feedback on the mic. Representative Gelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, thank you so much for your testimony. I had just a couple of questions. My background is as an advocate for medically involved and medically challenged kids and kids with disabilities. And you mentioned the kids that you're serving that have some complex medical needs. But they're attending school.
Yes, they are.
And they're participating with their peers.
Yes, they are.
And they're living at home with their families.
Or foster families. That's another huge need in the state of Oregon, is that there are a very large number of families that are placed in foster care, drug-involved families, mm-hmm. but they are either with their parents or with foster families.
Okay. I guess the reason that I asked the question, to me, I think that you make the case very well. One of the reasons that we need nursing in school and a challenge is when kids kind of need that stability of care. But also with some of those things, some families really struggle with keeping their kids at home because people tell them that as lay people, they can't handle their kids' gastrostomy tubes or they can't handle the suctioning. And in fact they can. And I know there are many families where the siblings do the gastrostomy feedings and help with the suctioning. So part of it is that appropriate training of the people that are in the child's life. So I just wanted to make sure that as part of the record, we weren't building on the idea that these kids can't live in the community and be at home and have to have a nurse with them 24 hours a day. That in a school setting, that's very important because the school secretary and the teacher, all of whom have other duties during the day, can't be expected to do those things. And that's that unique environment and the need of keeping that school day going. But these children, just because they might have gastrostomy tubes or tracheotomies or other kinds of things, don't require 24-hour nursing care. They can be cared for and supported in the community, participate in our Brownie Troops, and live at home with their parents.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
May I comment on that, too? I will say that there's a large continuum of children, and many of our children that we can do delegation to in the state of Oregon does require that a nurse do the training and that the parent is part of that training.
Absolutely.
That comes in. We do have, in Multnomah County, we do contracted nursing services for those children who are ventilator dependent, mm-hmm. that do require the one-to-one nursing. And that program has grown in the last, I would say, 15 years from two children to now we have 37 nurses who are in the school full-time, going from home to school with children and back so that they can participate. But many of those children are healthy because the nurse is with them. I think that makes such a big difference in that particular. But the large continuum that we're addressing in relationship to that is that we need that assessment and that health care plan so the children can have the least amount of nursing that they need to have in the school setting. Thank you.
Just one more statement. The Oregon State Board of Nursing has a very liberal, very, very liberal delegation standard that allows us to train non-medical staffs. There are states within the United States that absolutely forbid it, that you cannot even give them a Tylenol in school if you're not a registered nurse. So we have that broadness in the state of Oregon to be able to delegate those procedures.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the clarification. And Carol, thanks for bringing the information from the folks from Coos Bay and other places. That's really helpful.
Thank you.
Deborah? You plan to speak? Okay. Well, I know all the great work that Multnomah County ESD does and the School Nurse Association, so I'm really thank you for being here because I know you're all busy, but it's one thing I know about school nurses, they come prepared. So.
Thank you very much.
Caroline Fitchett? Is there anybody else who wanted to testify? Bethann, if you want to come up together, that would be great.
Want to go first?
Go ahead. Bethann Darby with the Oregon Education Association. We represent 46,000 school employees, including school nurses, and I am here mostly to express support for this task force. Healthcare for students is a critical issue. We very much appreciate both Representative Bonamici's and Representative Gelser's comments concerning the state of how we are funding our schools, and it is unfortunate that student health care has been part of that problem. I think your panel did an excellent job, and I'm here just to express support and to offer to do anything I can in the building. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? I just wanted to say that I appreciate you, the OEA being here, and just want to point out for the folks that on line 10, my purpose of putting that in there is that we want the group that represents school nurses, which is OEA, to be at the table and during this discussion. You know, we're going to see support from the School Nurse Association, the Nurse Association, hopefully, you know, but they're the you represent those folks in the schools, and you know the budget issue, so we want you at the table.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. For the record, my name is Caroline Fitchett, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Nurses Association. And although we represent nurses in collective bargaining, today I'm here on the practice issue. And Martin Taylor is supposed to be here testifying, but he was pulled away to Portland. So I'm just here also to express our support of the bill and our support of the need for us to get some information about what's actually happening in terms of medical care and what the needs are in the schools, and that here to offer my support and Martin's support and the organizations to support to the committee and the bill in terms of anything you need in the future.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions?
That's okay.
Seeing none. Okay. Thank you very much. And that completes our list of testimony. Any other final comments, questions about the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2773. And just want to remind folks, we do not have a subcommittee meeting on Thursday. We will meet again next Tuesday. We don't have an agenda out for that yet. There is a full health care committee on Friday. And I think we're hearing several bills that have come out of subcommittees that we're trying to move to the floor. So look forward to seeing you all there. Thank you. Close the meeting.